welcome back to another edition of the Hot Take Podcast, where I, along with my co-host Nat, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Nat, has it been a week? A little more than a week? I can't remember what it's been.
A little more.
That's true. I mean, what's up with you, man? What's new with you? It's been so long.
You know what? I'm just gonna say it. I haven't seen you since last year. Yeah. That's right.
Yikes.
That's right. That's a nice little dad joke there.
Pretty
good. Yeah. See?
Yeah.
I got them in me. Don't worry. You know, I'll be honest. You've caught me in low spirits.
Why is that?
You know, like, if you've been following the podcast and you know where my loyalties stand, you'll know that the team I'm loyal to has not been doing so well over the past 11 games or so. You know, we were, I think the fourth seed early December. It's now early January, and now we're the 11th seed. So
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? What seed are you now?
We dropped to the 11th seed, I believe. After
this
being
is
the last month,
IST in season tournament champions, Los Angeles Lakers. That team.
Hold on. Inaugural winner. Yes.
Inaugural.
Winners of the inaugural, you know, in season tournament. Yeah,
that's true. Yes, my apologies.
Yes, I am referring to the Los Angeles Lakers, who, at the recording of this podcast, will play the Clippers after we're done, and I'm worried too. So. I have the past to worry about, and I have tonight to worry about as well during our recording. So yeah, let's just get to it. Whatever you want to talk about, let's go.
So I mean, right, say on the Lakers right now, you guys are sitting at under like two games under 500. you're currently behind the, as of right now, Draymondless Green Golden State Warriors. Which also the Warriors have had a lot of controversy over the last week or so.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Like, let's talk about that. Yeah. Like, Jonathan Kuminga speaking out. You have all these players speaking out. Steve Kerr was like getting salt, like, mm-hmm. He's being spicy right back, talking about, you know, I played 15 years in this league and every year I felt like I wasn't getting enough playing time. I get it. You know, it's competitive nature. These guys were, you know, the guys on high school teams, college teams, G League teams. And then now all of a sudden, they're regulated to like garbage time minutes. So like, I get it, but I think that just added to, but I mean, you saw what happened when Kuminga got all that playing time just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I think he played like 37 minutes and like he popped off. So like this kind of brings me into a point I've been thinking about, and I've heard it like on other podcasts, but like Steve Kerr, when you think or hear of his name, Steve Kerr, like, what do you think about?
Role player. Helped Jordan win, you know, all those kind of things. But
what about like from a coaching standpoint? Yeah.
Yes. From that perspective, elite coach, one of the best to do it today. Yeah. He's in high regard as a coach.
Like, I understand we're, you know, 2 years removed from them winning their fourth championship. But like, I mean, just 2 years ago, we were talking about how he was one of the premier top coaches in the league. And then now, like, with everything going on, I mean, obviously there's a lot of internal things with like Draymond Green, the core guys getting a lot older. Some are not aging as gracefully. You know, I feel like Steph Curry's the outlier in that situation where like he can just still continue to pop off. But I think it's interesting when you have coaches like Steve Kerr. Do you have any other, like, for example, we talking about Steve Kerr. What about Greg Popovich?
I mean, also one of the greats. I mean, like, all these coaches, I think he also was working under Pop's system at one point, too, in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they were working together. So, but, you know, I think Pop right now at this point in his career is kind of working with young talent, growing those talent to be, you know, up to par for the rest of the league and how they currently are. But, I mean, Steve Kerr, you know, he's worked with stars for better part of his career, you know.
It's just weird though, because I feel like with Steve Kerr, he was always known for finding and progressing along young talent, and then that kind of fell off, especially, and it fell off hard this year, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You know, not giving the younger guys opportunities. Like, if you think, even going back to James Wiseman being the number two pick even though it was a COVID year, it was, you know, wonky season, you would have thought like there would have been some type of development with James Wiseman, but he just never really got that opportunity in Golden State. And then now you look at like Greg Popovich with, he has the number one overall pick, the alien, you know, Victor Wembanyama, but it's, he's doing weird things that seem atypical of a Greg Popovich coach team. Like, obviously the like biggest
playing
one,
a power forward for a point guard.
Exactly. You know, that being the biggest one, like, what are you doing? The man can't make a pass. He can't make an entry pass. And I'm sure you've seen it all over social media. Like there's literally highlight reels of Spurs players not feeding Wembanyama open, you know, dunks, layups, to the point where like he's even doing the motion of like doing an alley-oop with no ball. Like he's like, are you guys serious? How do you miss a 7'5" guy like that, man? Like, what are they doing there? And then that also kind of brings me to, there's just a lot of coaching turmoil, I feel like, this season. Not a lot, but like there's some heavy outliers.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. One of which, and I hate to bring this up, but one of which is your team.
Darvin Ham. His name.
Yeah.
He must be arrested.
Why is that?
I mean, there's a lot of approaches to, you know, criticize his method of coaching. But I think the one that most people would agree about is, I guess, him ignoring analytics to a certain extent. And when I say that, I mean, looking at all the lineups that he's been using or have been used with that team for the past 2 years. So this year and last year, the most prolific, highest net rating lineup of all of them is, I believe it was D'Lo, Reeves, Vanderbilt, LeBron, and AD, those five. Up to this point, he's only played that lineup once for 1 minute. That lineup also led them to the conference finals last year against Denver. And he has not resorted to that lineup once at all throughout this whole thing. And I get it. D'Lo has regressed. Vanderbilt has regressed, you know, but you're trying all these lineups and haven't tried the one that got you to the conference finals last year. You know, I think that's worth a try. That's worth more minutes. But now D'Lo is hurt. And then Vanderbilt, I don't know what they're doing with him. Reeves, they want to kind of stagger with D'Lo, him being on the bench, D'Lo being started. It's weird, you know, and I think Darvin Ham has been trying all of these different lineups with Reddish and with Torian Prince, but they're not playing that well. And he's not adjusting when they're not playing well. He's keeping them in the starting lineup, even if they're missing, you know, all their threes or, you know, turning it over. So that's the big issue with him. On your side, have you seen anything else that I didn't describe yet?
I thought he said something after one of the, I think after the Heat loss, and it really bothered me, where he said, if I remember correctly, he said something along the lines of, it's hard when you have, he's like, I understand that they have guys out, but it's hard when we have our key role players out. But then when you go to look at the injury report, it was like Gabe Vincent and like
Hachimura.
Yeah, Rui Hachimura. Yeah. And I'm in my head, I'm like, bro, the Miami Heat, and this was as of December 30th. I think that the standing is still correct. Oh, no. Actually, Miami's improved a little bit. But, oh, no. I'm sorry. This was on December 30th. It was said the Miami Heat have the 7th best record in the NBA despite having 17 different starting lineups in 31 games. Spo said in training camp, this was a deeper team than last year. Seems pretty clear that he's right. So, like,
wow, you said it so much loudly, didn't you?
17 different starting lineups, but yet at the time of that post was they were the 7th best team in the league. Miami's dipped a little bit, especially with the absence of Jimmy Butler. Right now Miami's in 6th in the East. I think just last week they were like 4th. They dropped a couple games, especially on the, they have a long West Coast road trip, so they lost to the Clippers and they lost to the KD-less Phoenix Suns, which made me really upset. I don't understand how that happens. And like, I couldn't watch that game, but it's one of those things where you watch the, you know, the Miami Heat Instagram page will like pop up Like, yeah. Oh, Duncan Robinson is doing this, and look at our rookie doing that. You're like, oh man, like these highlights look great. Like we're up by like 20, and then you go to look, and they're down by 20. Been bamboozled. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting to point out the coaching, and for Darvin Ham to say that it's hard that they have players missing, but every team has players missing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I'm glad that Austin Reeves spoke out. I think it was Austin Reeves who spoke out on that. He's like, it doesn't matter who we have, you know, we're expected to win. Like, we're professionals. Yep. I really like Austin Reeves, man. Should I do it? A couple of minutes into the
do what?
Such a he culture guy, man.
Okay. You know what? Take him for high man Bam? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Never. No.
I agree.
Never mind. Staying with your Lakers, I thought it was interesting, and I reached out to you. Earlier this week, Bill Simmons had a hypothetical trade after talking about how poorly the Los Angeles Lakers have been doing.
That blasphemy that you sent me? Yeah.
Yeah. So Bill's hypothetical trade for LeBron would be for LeBron to go back to Miami along with Gabe Vincent. So it would be a reunion for Gabe Vincent and LeBron James. The Lakers would get Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Nikola Jovic, and a first-round pick. As a current Lakers fan, how would you feel about that said trade? Again, you're getting Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Nikola Jovic, and a first-round pick.
I mean, where do I begin? I would stop watching the NBA after they made that trade. I think we get nothing in return. Because, all right, let's be honest here. I think that Bill Simmons trade that he proposed, you know, on the Miami Heat side, he's used that trade for, like, every other star player fake trade. Like, I'm pretty sure he mentioned that for, like, a Dame trade back when he was in Portland, you know? Oh, Lord. I just see this. I'm seeing on our camera here in Zoom that we got our fearless leader here wearing a LeBron Heat jersey. I might need to give you my LeBron Laker jersey for you to wear instead.
No, thanks.
But
you can keep that.
going back to his trade though, I guess, you know, it makes sense on the numbers and dollars and cents perspective, but from the results and who you get, I just think that's a huge loss for the Lakers. I'll keep our bums instead of getting those bums instead.
Hypothetically speaking, if this trade were to happen, would you be a Heat fan?
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. I told you, wherever LeBron goes, I go. If he goes to the Pistons, I'm a Pistons fan, okay? Like that's just how it is. I'm sorry. You have to follow greatness around, you know, follow greatness around wherever it goes.
Oh man, that's too funny.
I just want to pivot very quickly to the Lakers one more time, right? So there is this case with them and Darvin Ham trying different lineups, it not working out, right? Similarly happening to the Warriors too, if you think about it, right? Like Steve Kerr's trying to put Kuminga in the starting lineup or you know, because Draymond's out, he's trying different things in the lineup, putting in Jackson Davis, putting in Pods, you know, into lineup. And that's also kind of not working. You know, they had like limited results, some losses here and there. Would you say it's kind of the same dilemma going on between both teams? Same dilemma in them finding a groove or finding the right lineup, right?
I find it really interesting that in both situations, like you have players complaining about whether it be rotation or playing time. You have coaches who were known to be able to think on the fly, adjust on the fly, but are now kind of refusing to do so. Mm-hmm. And now both teams are kind of suffering. I mean, both of them are sitting, you know, 10th and 11th, respectively.
Exactly. And I also think that it kind of is the same predicament, but yet it's getting different media treatment for both teams. Like the Warriors, it's kind of quiet on that front. But the Lakers, it's this whole big thing. You know, it's this whole controversy on these debate shows. And it's partially due to the players also speaking out. Like LeBron saying, oh, we suck now. Or there was that report that someone's unhappy with Darvin Ham, which is probably true, to be honest. On the Warriors side, there's not much of that from the players. So I was like, oh, I think it's just funny how, you know, the Lakers kind of get that attention and get that backlash from all this, but the Warriors is just silent because, oh, you know, they're the Warriors. They got Steph Curry. It's fine. You know, they'll figure it out. Oh, Draymond's not there. You know, they'll figure it out when he gets back. So that was my kind of pet peeve about the whole thing. It's like similar, but not, I guess.
I kind of understand why, in a sense, though, and it's because of LeBron James. If you look at his track record, whenever he's not happy with a coaching situation, what ends up happening?
They're not there anymore.
Exactly. The GM, bro. Like, he goes into full force when he's not happy.
But okay. Wait. But be in my shoes, though. Or, like, I guess be in Rob Pelinka's shoes, right? Like, would you fire Darvin Ham because of all this? Is it his fault, is what I'm asking you. Do you think it's his fault? Or is it just the players not playing to their standards?
I mean, there's definitely a good chunk is on Darvin Ham, because regardless of injuries, like, this is what baffles me. Regardless of the injuries, right? That's your role players. Yeah. You have a healthy LeBron James and a healthy Anthony Davis.
Surprisingly.
And that's at least like another four games above 500 with just that team alone, with those two alone. But something's not clicking there. There's a disconnect there.
Exactly. And then you have like people like Stephen A. Smith saying, oh, if they fire Darvin Ham, I'm going to be so upset. It's like, wait a minute. Like, I get it. You know, like, he's a coach that, you know, is pretty young in his tenure. He is going to make mistakes, et cetera, et cetera. But there comes a time where with LeBron, you have to win now because of his age and because of where he's at in his career, where it has to be, you know, all of the cards have to line up for this to work with LeBron, because he has limited time on his hands. So,
well, the other difference, though, is like when you look at the Warriors and Curry is, the guys are going to follow Curry's lead. Curry has a good relationship with Kerr. So even if guys are unhappy, for the most part, yeah, I mean, Kuminga, you know, spoke out, some other young players spoke out, but they're going to fall in line. They're going to follow Steph Curry. It's going to be the same with LeBron and the Lakers. The only difference is Curry and Kerr have a good relationship. LeBron and Darvin, I mean, like, we don't know the full extent of their relationship, but there's been instances where LeBron hasn't seemed too happy about some of the coaching choices. And I also think it's an issue where I understand LeBron's greatness. I get it. I do. But to be openly defiant to the coach in a game where it got to the point to where Darvin Ham kind of lets LeBron pick and choose when he goes in and out of the game. Like, that's a little bit excessive for me. That's where I kind of draw the line. And like, also, I think recently it was reported that we mentioned how LeBron, a lot of the times, if coaching wasn't working out, that coach would be gone. There was a time when allegedly LeBron wanted Kuya Eric Spoelstra out of the job. He wanted, and then like,
all right, saw, right, right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and they had a pretty pretty rough start to their first year together. I'll never forget when like LeBron coming off the court bumped his shoulder into Eric Spoelstra, and it was like a big deal. Like, oh, LeBron's not happy, you know, Spo's gotta go. Quit Eric is like one of the best coaches in the league over the last 10 years. And he's done it. A couple of those seasons were with bums. Like, you have Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside leading your team. Like, you know, kudos to Quit Eric. Like,
that zone that they played on us in that one game, I think it was last Friday or Thursday or so. Like, dang, that was elite. Like, it's just like a zone that is only specific to Eric Spoelstra and his you know, mind. Yeah. It was insane.
The thing is that the guys buy in. That's the key. Like, no matter how bad things get, I mean, like, there is something. I don't want to bring up heat culture, but like,
go ahead. You might as well.
You know, you hear it all the time. It's from the top down. Like, the people at the top hold themselves accountable. You know, so like, Eric Spoelstra is not going to do this. Like, oh, we're losing because we don't have our guys. We don't have Jimmy. We don't have, you know, whoever. The only one that's really been missing for Miami is that's of relevance is Jimmy.
And then Hero, especially when he came back.
Yeah, Like he came back for like he missed like three games, came back, and then he's missed like another three games, especially on this West Coast swing. But you don't hear anything about, you know, Spo being like, oh yes, yeah, because we're missing our star player. Like the Heat culture mantra is next man up, and that's how they play. They buy into that. They firmly believe in that. And I you know, to their credit, Miami is deeper this year, whereas I feel like this Lakers squad, although it's almost identical to last year's squad felt deeper.
It did.
And I think Bill Simmons brought up an interesting point. He stated that he felt as if the Lakers are too deep. Like they have too many like decent or good role players, where like there's certain guys that should be like on any other team would be getting like hefty minutes. Jackson Hayes, Jared Vanderbilt, especially Christian Wood, you know, like guys like that would be getting heavy minutes. But on this team, it's like, where are you taking minutes away from? You got Taurean Prince on your team. Like he's not like a best five player on another team, but he's at least like top seven, eight, like heavy rotation guy.
If we're gonna talk Heat culture guys, I think Taurean Prince is a Heat culture guy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. 3 and D, send them over.
The last point I want to make about the Lakers is this, right? There are clear struggles, I understand, with the Lakers. But as a fan, for me, like I can't but observe what they did for the in-season tournament finals and semifinals. And that small run that they had, that was a small glimpse of how they work under pressure, working towards a championship, quote unquote, right? Like I think looking at that and how they were for that, I kind of like don't really think about this as a hurdle in a way, because I've seen in that championship mentality state of winning something. Because they like kind of like went to a different gear for that. And I guess afterwards they kind of dialed it back. Like they just dropped it. They didn't want to continue it. They just dropped that mentality and they went, you know, all these games are, you know, whatever until we get into, you know, April, May, and June. So, I mean, in the long term of things, it's not good for them to drop those and, you know, start having bad habits. But for me, looking into that and what they did last month for that tournament, I'm like, oh, I think they'll be fine. You know, when it comes to the real basketball games, that's my personal take.
As a Lakers fan, do you think prior to the upcoming trade deadline, are they going to stick with this team or are they going to make moves?
I don't know. I
as really a Lakers hope, fan, would you want them to make moves?
At this point, with the way they're looking, yeah. I mean, thinking about how D'Lo has been, like he was supposed to be that third guy for us, but turns out to be like the seventh guy, unfortunately. Vanderbilt lost his aura on defense. Like now he's just the guy that nobody cares about anymore. Cam Reddish had that like 1 month of like insane progress and results as our 3-and-D guy on, you know, but now he's just a bum apparently. So like I mean like, you know, there's Zach LaVine, which is like you know, I don't love it, you know, I don't love it, but we've never seen LaVine in this circumstance play next to LeBron and AD. Like maybe he could just turn out to be a complete, you know, third guy like KD was for Stephen Clay. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We've never seen LaVine in that spot before. So if we do get LaVine, we got to see how that shapes out. And I think LeBron kind of wants that change. I think he's over it now with this group.
I feel like LaVine is probably your best bet. I've also heard like Kyrie. I feel like,
or DeJounte Murray. All those
things. Yeah, DeJounte Murray. Yeah. But the first two, I feel like those would probably help the Lakers the most. I mean, it would be better than what they have now for sure, in my opinion.
Actually, you brought up Kyrie. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, like him and Luka kind of balancing the offensive acts, and it's not really in Kyrie's favor. So maybe you might get a reunion, you know, of Kyrie and LeBron this season. Who knows?
You never know with Kyrie, man. You never know.
He's been good this season, though.
There's
not much, you know, controversy around his name just so far. So that's
good. I have him in one of my fantasy teams. You know, I mean, he's missed a good chunk of games, but nevertheless, like he, you know, steady producer, man.
I want to ask you this, all right, and now we're going to pivot away from the Lakers into the Heat, right? We mentioned earlier that they're the sixth seed, right? And it's pretty clear to this point that it's probably going to be Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, and an X team for the, was it quarterfinals or, something like that, right? So it's going to be those four pretty much. With the Knicks getting OG and Anobi, they're going to be fighting for that fourth spot with the Heat. Do you think it's going to be easy for the Heat to get that fourth spot?
I mean, I could see Miami landing the fourth spot, you know, with a healthy Jimmy Butler and the rest of the team is healthy. And you have role guys that continue to produce the way that they're producing. I don't think it'll be too difficult for them to land that fourth spot. But at the same time, I don't think Miami really cares. So
Let me rephrase it. Are you scared of the Knicks for the Heat?
No. After what we did to them last year in the playoffs, what we've done to them in previous years in the playoffs, I think like we're in their head type of thing.
Wait. But now they've got a solid defender to put on Jimmy in OG Anunoby. I think that's kind of why they made that trade to a certain extent. Don't sleep on OG, bro. Don't sleep on OG. Come on. Do not sleep on OG Anunoby.
Last year in the playoffs, Drew Holiday was the elite defender that had Jimmy Butler duty. Then after Milwaukee, it was the Knicks. And the Knicks didn't have any answer. They have length. They had tremendous length, but they couldn't slow down Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy got hurt in that series. And then you go to the Celtics, who have arguably one of the best defenses, including this year. This year, I think they're more of a defensive juggernaut. But look at the pieces that Boston tried to throw at Jimmy last year. And Jimmy, like, manhandled them. Like, you know, there's no... When it comes to playoff Jimmy, man, it's a different animal. So, like, and I understand the whole... This is my take on the OG Anunoby trade. My initial thought was New York fumbled the bag. I thought they gave up, big pieces for one dude. I get why they did it. I mean, the Knicks have won four straight, having OG in the lineup. You know, he's producing. But I also feel like he was kind of like that for the Raptors, like, over previous years and then kind of fell off. So I'm wondering if, like, this is just the honeymoon phase with him. And then we don't have a large sample size of how he produces in the playoffs, really. You know, especially deep runs into the playoffs.
That's true. I mean, there was that stint in the bubble when they faced Boston.
Yeah.
That insane series where Lowry makes that cross court pass to him in the corner, shoots the three, and they win that game. I don't know what the game was, but I don't know. I maybe I'm looking at it from a very high level, but I think with OG in their team, he can defend, you know, Tatum. He can defend Maxey. He can defend Jimmy. You know, like those guys that, you know, the Knicks couldn't really stop beforehand. I think now they have the answer.
Right. I mean, he's obviously, they're going to have favorable matchups against, you know, different teams heading into the playoffs. I'm not saying like it's, I don't think it's a downgrade by any means for the Knicks. Did they get like leaps and bounds better? I think that's yet to be determined. You know me, man. Over the last few years, you see how I view things, like when the big three of Brooklyn formed, right? And like had Lawrence's friend Chris on. There's like, oh, you know, this is the NBA champions. Like, we dubbed them the NBA champions. But in my head, I'm like, I don't know. I've seen this before. Like, these kind of super teams don't always work out. And they lasted, what, a year and a half? Like, before that fell apart. And there was like another team that like formed where like people were scared. And I'm like, nah, I don't think it's going to happen. Like when KD first went to the Phoenix Suns, people were like, you know, this is it. It's a wrap. And I'm like, I don't think so, man. And then you look at the standings.
Even this year too, with them and Beal. So
they're in eighth right now in the West. Like I have to see it to believe it type of person.
Yeah.
And like, I get the four games in a row, but you know, I'm not shaking in my boots or anything. My snow boots.
I'm just saying that, you know, if it comes down to it, where it's a 4-5 matchup of the Heat and the Knicks, I'm taking the Knicks.
No, that's great. That's what we want. That's what we want. That's Heat culture, man. We want you to doubt us.
Yeah.
Just add fuel to the fire, bro.
The craziest, nastiest, whatever they
have. Grittiest, before there. Hardest working.
Grittiest, hardest
working. Yep, sweatiest. Yep. But no, I mean, like, the other thing too that I think a lot of people are overlooking with this Miami Heat team, again, 17 at the time, 17 different starting lineups. It's probably more now. And there's still, you know, six in the East without their star player. Like, this team, you know, I asked you if you wanted your Lakers to be buyers or sellers for trade deadline for Miami. Like, last year, I was really upset that we didn't make any moves. I was so mad. So mad. But, like, this year, I'm like, I don't know if I want anyone else in this league right now on this team. Because you would have to give up, like, a pretty solid piece. Like, I would hate to do it, but if it was, like, a Nikola Jovic, then, like, okay, yeah. You know, maybe a pick or two. Maybe, like, Caleb Martin and Nikola Jovic. Like, I could see that, you know. Like, that wouldn't, like, crush me.
Yeah.
But even then, like, Nikola Jovic, I think, is a sleeper, man. Like, that guy, Miami's going to do something with him. I don't know if you saw, like, his stats in G League. I think he was,
He also cooked us.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Yeah.
Who sent it to me?
I should give you your flowers, though. Like, the Heat are legit. And I think, you know, we all had this thought of the Celtics and the Bucks being the premier matchup for the ECF, but I think it's going to be the Heat and then the Celtics. Like, that's going to be a great matchup to witness.
I think it will be. I mean, again, out of the East, I mean, even with Philly, I mean, Philly's pretty scary. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel like out of the East, the Celtics still scare me the most.
They're a concern for sure.
Yeah. I think it's what they could do defensively. The only thing is with Boston is if they could stay healthy. If KP could stay healthy, if, you know, Jaylen could stay healthy and the whole nine yards. Like, that's the team that scares me the most, because I could see them size-wise giving Miami the biggest trouble, especially with their athleticism and their length. But you mentioned earlier, like, how we cooked your team. I thought it was funny. In one of my other leagues, we have a group chat, and someone said, have y'all been seeing this new Heat squad name? They're calling them the Dame Package. So basically, you guys lost to the Dame Package Miami Heat. Like,
I'm surprised too that, like, yeah, like even after all those trade talks, like, they're still locking in, they're still buying in, you know, even if their names are circulating throughout those trade scenarios. It's impressive.
Right. I mean, like, it's Duncan Robinson, Jaime Jaquez. Like, it's just a bunch of, like, that's what I love about this Miami team, bro. Like, it's just a bunch of, like, blue-collar, gritty, hardworking people that, you know, on any given night wouldn't typically be given their flowers. But, like, that's what they like. They're like, okay, bet. You know, I'm going to make you regret that. And, like, man, this guy right here never ceases to amaze me, bro. Like, he's a true student of the game. He has great honor and respect for the game and those who came before him. I'm referring to Jaime Jaquez Jr., the new Triple J, in my opinion. And, like, you know, even after this shot, you know, LeBron was like, hey, good shot. You know, like, that means a lot when it's coming from arguably one of the, well, not arguably, the greatest player to ever play the game. Like, that's big time, you know?
Yeah.
Do you want to, like, quickly go over the current standings?
Let's do it.
Let's do East-West.
I mean, East is kind of like a no-brainer, but yeah, let's do East first, because West is interesting, to say the least. West is interesting. So East first. Let's do East first.
Okay, we'll go East first. Let's do, like, one-worded, one to maybe, like, two, three-worded responses to, I'll give you the team name. You think of the first word that comes to your head.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, number 10, Chicago Bulls.
Surprising. That's what I'll say.
Should
I, like, elaborate? Or,
yeah, a little bit.
They've been doing well without Levine. I think he's right. back though. But before that, they were winning games, like quality games. So maybe they're hearing the chatter about, you know, the team being bad and, you know, LaVine almost leaving or DeRozan leaving. But I think they're surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good.
What's your words for them?
My word is eh. Like I'm like, oh, indifferent. I'm indifferent to them. Yeah. They just don't do it for me.
Will they win the eighth seed? No. Like no. I'm saying like in the playing tournament, like they're a good 10 spot to play against if you're the ninth or eighth seed.
I just feel like with as much talent as you have on that team to be a 10th seed. Like someone free DeMar DeRozan, please send him to Miami. Send him to Miami.
I think everyone in limbo just wants to go to Miami, huh? Is that what you want? Like everyone should just go there? Okay, got
it. Yeah. Number 9, Brooklyn. What's your word?
I guess also surprising. I mean, like, we didn't expect them to be in this spot right now given the star players that they've lost over trades or over, you know, free agency, but like I think they're a dark horse. I mean, will they go anywhere? Maybe not, but they're a dark horse. They have athletic long wings that can defend. They're just missing that good point guard to help them out. Like now it's Dinwiddie, but he's been kind of regressing. Simmons is out as we all expect him to be out because he's somehow always hurt. But yeah, I mean, just definitely dark horse. Like low key rooting for them to make some noise in the East, but them being in the play-in makes sense.
I said disappointing, especially after the year they had last year. But granted, you know, that was mainly because of KD and Kyrie giving them like a great head start. So in that trade, when those trades happened, they had like some wiggle room to work with. But last year, if you remember, like it was like Mikal Bridges, you know, he's the next big thing. But like there's, you know, there's been a couple of nights I have him in fantasy and I'm like, bro, for real? Like that's all you gave me? Same with Cam Thomas. Cam Johnson. Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas is like
he's been streaky. Doing bad lately. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Like he missed like 20 consecutive field goals over the 2 games. Like, you know, it was he's down bad. Number 8, Indiana Pacers.
Fluke. Luke.
Mine was similar. I said phony.
Yeah. they had that glorious run in November and December leading up to the IST, but now they can't defend a parked car.
I will
everyone knows that.
I will give them this though. They kind of own the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of that whole game ball thing. Remember that?
They're in the honest's head, bro.
Apparently, like Giannis thought he got like the second ball, but he actually got the actual game ball. Yeah, it's like, oh geez, yeah.
Pat Bev was like, I would pop it and then give it back to him. it'd be interesting if they face Milwaukee in the playoffs. That's the best case scenario for them.
I'd be scared for the Bucks then if that were the case.
Number 7, Orlando Magic.
Dang, one word. I think the one word is possible. It's possible for them to be in the top 8, honestly. Okay. Because like, look at Franz, look at Paolo, look at Suggs. Like they're all rising now. And I think like when you talk about, you know, the lower seeds, they fit that description of being a lower seed. Like, you know, there, but not, you know, up there yet. They're just like close, but no cigar in a way, you know, that kind of thing. So I think they're a measurable team to be one of those teams, you know, first round exit type of team. I think they're one of those teams that can do that.
My word is hyphenated. I said fizzled out. Oh. I feel like they kind of had like a nice streak going. Like they were a little bit scary. They kind of owned the Boston Celtics. But over the last, I feel like they've kind of been, you know, streaky as a team the last few games. If they're completely healthy, I could see them making like a nice little run in the playoffs. Well, actually, no, they're probably, to your point,
first round exit.
First round. Yeah, first round exit. They're almost there. They just need a little more. Number 6, Miami Heat.
I'm going to say it's undeniable. Undeniable. That's what I'll say. I think that they're going to make it far in the playoffs. Given Milwaukee's, you know, regression, they're going to make it far in the playoffs. Because I think you still have to work with Philly, with healthy Embiid, and the Celtics in their starting 5. Like, that's the 2 juggernauts there.
Man, like there's so many words to choose from. Hardest working, grittiest, dirtiest, meanest.
Yeah, just look at the floor. Look at that court floor. You know, you got.
My being a Heat fan, being a realist, I'll say iffy. That's my word for them. Iffy. Only because if they're healthy,
classic,
do I think they'll make a deep run? If they stay healthy, because if you look over the last few seasons, bro, like whenever they made a deep run into the playoffs, they lost key guys. Like if you think the bubble year, Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo got hurt, and then you look at last year, Tyler Hero gets hurt in the first round, misses basically the entire playoffs. So it's like they always deal with injuries, but the worst ones come when they're needed the most. So I say iffy. Number five, the New York Knickerbockers.
Gritty. I mean, they're going to have to fight for a win. You know, like, that's just how they are. Like they have to battle. You know, like, you have Brunson, who's, I think, an all-star. But, like, Randall, you really have to hope that he's efficient that night. I really hope that he's going to be, you know, on his A game. Because when he's not, he's not. And his body language is off. It turns off the whole team. You know, it's just a really big stinker. So there's a lot of factors that play into them getting wins every night. And it's also, you know, Julius Randle, there's no more Mitchell Robinson anymore. He's out for the season. You have like Josh Hart kind of being up and down, Quentin Grimes up and down. So they have to grind things out. And that's why I said gritty, because they have to really earn their stripes moving forward.
My word for them would be pretenders. I think
you go full on savage for this exercise here that we're doing. Wow.
They over the last few years, like they have really good regular seasons. They can make deep runs in the playoffs, but whenever they come up against a superior coached team, I feel like they just can't, even regardless of the talent that they have. Like if you can make the argument they had a more talented roster than Miami last year, but yet Miami just kind of owned them. So I'll believe it when I see it. So right now, to me, they're pretenders. Cleveland.
Pretenders.
Oh.
I think they're pretenders. I mean, like, when they first got Mitchell, it was like, oh, like, this team can make some noise. But since then, they've battled health issues. They've battled, it just wasn't their time. I just think with them, they're just, like, in the middle. It's just, like, also indifferent. You know, I guess that's why I knew we're indifferent about them. I just, like, I'm sure they'll make it, you know, past the first round, but that'll be it.
My word for them is unfortunate. To your point, the injuries and also the construction of their roster. I think they're probably going to be one of the bigger, like, of the buyers and sellers for the trade deadline. I mean, you know, you hear talks of Donovan Mitchell. Like, I don't know. I feel like that experiment hasn't worked with Darius Garland and Donovan. I think you kind of have to break that up. Mm-hmm. Possibly move like Jared Allen, you know, for something. I've heard some interesting trades out there. So for me, my word for them is unfortunate.
Can I do a hot take real quick about Donovan Mitchell?
Mm-hmm.
I think he will be a Brooklyn Net this season.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
I want to say that because I often go to their games. And right. I want to see more star power at those games. That's all I'm saying.
That's what Brooklyn needs. like yeah, Mikal exactly. Bridges. Don't get me wrong. Mikal Bridges is a great player. He's awesome, but he's not your number one guy. He can be, but right now it's not. Like he's not in that pecking order of number one guys. Like he's not on your, he's not on the list. You know, you put Donovan there. That team could be something. That's the one team that I've heard.
I can't wait.
Aside from Miami, which I don't want Donovan Mitchell. Nothing against him. I think he's a great talent, but I think he would mess up.
Not a Heat culture guy, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Number three, Philly.
Embiid is my one word. Because we've seen him fizzle out in the playoffs. You know, obviously they're going to make the playoffs for sure. Like, that's a given. Given how, you know, Maxie's been playing well. Tobias Harris has been playing well. Oubre is a solid role player for them as well. But with Embiid, we need to see him healthy. We need to see him dominate a playoff series. And then we'll know for sure that they're legit.
For mine, I have spicy. Ever since James Harden left, they've just been on a tear. Yeah, they're super spicy right now. I think they like that, and they get to play with a certain level of freedoms that they didn't have before. I always thought to myself that, like, I really, really like Joel Embiid. And to this day, I feel that his greatest teammate that he's ever had was Jimmy Butler. I'm not even joking. Like, what Jimmy
did. That's true.
Yeah. What he did for him, you know, his year in Philly. And I wouldn't be surprised if before the end of his career, Joel Embiid teams up with Jimmy Butler. I wouldn't be surprised. Joel, come on, man. Philly's kind of cold. Just move down to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Live it up.
Miami's hands down better. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Number two, Milwaukee.
I'll just say the glaring word, defense. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only thing that's the only roadblock in their way of a championship is defense. Like, I think they need to be buyers for the trade deadline this season. Buy maybe Caruso, help out that guard defense in their starting lineup, maybe, because we all know that Malik Beasley cannot guard anybody. So, I don't know, like pairing Dame with Caruso, helping him out with his liabilities on defense. I think that's going to be a good thing for Milwaukee. I think that should be where they're looking at, possibly.
My word for them is zombies. I think,
okay,
you know, they're how do I word it? It's like they're not them. Like, there's something is using them as a host body. So, like,
okay,
like their record. Sense. I feel like their record doesn't match like their playing style. Like, they have a really good record. They're number two in the East, but I mean, you can't. It's Giannis and Dame, but at the same time, I'm like, you put them up against a Miami. You put them up against, like, you know, a Philly. Even New York, I feel like, could give. I mean, Pacers.
Oh, yeah.
Pacers, man. Like, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Number one, Boston.
Okay. I'm going to say one word, but it should be this other word instead.
Okay.
I will say, on the surface level, it's unfair. That's my word. Unfair.
Okay.
Because that starting five is just unfair, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. But the word I want to say instead is bench. It's about their bench. Right, like, once those five get off the floor, you're hoping that Luke Kornet, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard can help, you know, save the day or keep it afloat. And
what you got against the white boys?
It was actually a coincidence that they were all white. I was like, giving up their key players in rotations. And Horford too. Horford's getting up there in age, so I do like Brissett and Keita. Keita. Their new center from Portugal. They're going to be good pieces for them as well, but yeah, they're just to the first word there is unfair. I mean, I saw them play Lakers on Christmas Day. That was just unfair. That was a beating for the Lakers.
Yep. So. Yep. My word for them is, oh, I just had it and it slipped in my mind. You said unfair.
Yours should be concerned. We're talking about your Heat. That should be you know, they should be concerned, but
Boston. Oh, what was my word for them? I had a good word for them. Now it's going to bother me. Okay, I'll go with a second word off the dome. My word for them is scary. Kind of a lackluster word, but oh man, I can't think of my first word.
Your word should have been speechless, because it's something speechless.
No, yeah, this team scares me, man. Like, they my take has always been, if JB and JT attack the rim, they're unstoppable. But then when you got nights like last night or the other night when Jason Tatum's hitting eight threes, giving you 38 points, that's not fair. I think that's my word, unfair. My word was unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same as me. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfair. Wait, what was your word?
It was unfair, but then also bench. Like, like, there was two there, but
got it.
Yeah.
Let's move to the West and wrap it up. Number 10, Golden State Warriors.
Frauds. I mean, you know, when we had the podcast back for the first time, I had a big, large rant on the Warriors and how I felt about them. How mm-hmm. glad I am that they're failing at this rate. And I'm just very happy to see their downfall. It's great.
My word for them is sad. I think they're sad. I'm sad for them. The whole situation is sad, mainly because, you know, I'm a Steph Curry guy. I don't know how anyone can like dislike Steph Curry. Like he's a nice guy, good guy.
Nice guy. I feel bad for him. You know, not clutch in the fourth quarters, but all right.
Anyways. Hey, I mean, you know, that's you don't need to be when you're up, you know, 30, 40. Well, that was in the old days, but
old days, yeah.
Number 9, Houston Rockets.
I will do a phrase for this one, if that's okay. I'll do a phrase.
Sure.
Won't I'll be there it. For long. Yeah, won't be there for long. Mm. I don't know. Like, yes, you have the rise of Şengün. You have the rise of, you have the Fred VanVleet playing well as well. But I don't know. Like, they, to me, like, because the West is just so packed, I don't know if they're going to actually be a team that's contending. Because you have the Lakers in 11th right now. that's all I'm saying. You know, like, if the Lakers were to take a spot from the play-in teams, they'd probably take it from Houston. That's all I'm saying.
I have the Houston Rockets as... Oh, wait. Man, I did it again. I lost my word. This is so sad.
Dang.
It's been a long day, man.
Nah, it's all good.
What was my word for them? Bear with me for 1 second. Houston Rockets... sneaky. That was my word.
Sneaky. Okay.
Sneaky. They're my sneak. They're kind of my dark horse. They're well coached. They have a lot of talent, a lot of young talent. A lot of people are talking about, you know, Jalen Green being a trade piece. But in my head, I've also heard someone else talking about it on another podcast. Why are you in a rush to trade him? Like, you're not trying to win the NBA championship this year. Let him develop, make his mistakes. Kind of, you never know with Fred VanVleet getting older. Maybe Fred could kind of play that Kyle Lowry role, where like you're a good veteran point guard and kind of let Jalen make his mistakes, grow, continue to develop. That team would be so scary. That team is going to be scary, man. And just let it run through Şengün. Like let him be the like a Jokic type.
Yeah.
And you're being coached by Ime, like. I don't think they're in a bad spot.
Okay.
Number 8, Phoenix.
My word is wait, as in wait for a bigger sample size of the big three between Beal, Booker, and KD. Like we've got them in short spurts. Like KD's been out for a while this week. I think he's back soon. But I think their record makes sense because they haven't been fully healthy. So we'll have to wait and see. In a month or so, how they are with the big three. Hopefully fully intact.
My word for them is...
Did you forget again?
I did. I should write this down, man.
Dang, maybe they're forgetful. Maybe that's your word. It's just the how they've been doing. It's just been forgetful.
But my word for them is... oh my God, I really did forget my word for them. And it was a good word too, just like the Boston one. This is making me sad. Okay.
Oh, so for me, is it unfair? Because that was your word for Boston. Was it unfair? I don't think they're really unfair.
No.
Okay.
Is bust.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're calling bust already?
Yeah, I'm calling bust. I wasn't when this first happened. I wasn't big on it to begin with. I wasn't a believer in it to begin with. So I'm not surprised that the record is what it is, despite the like. I understand the injuries and what have you, but. Yeah, I think they're going to be a bust. I don't see them making a deep run, especially as currently constructed. They're going to be KD and Bradley Beal at some point down the line. There's going to be some form of an injury, and I just don't think they're deep enough. So I think they're a bust.
Okay.
Number 7, New Orleans.
I'm doing a phrase again for this one. Like, I think they're waiting to strike. That's my phrase. Waiting to strike. I think like they're always in the conversation. Like they're not really one of like the main prominent pieces that you want to or teams you want to discuss, but they're always there in the mix. They could make some noise. They're ready to do it. Like I don't know. Like they actually scared me from a Lakers perspective. Like it's just I'm scared.
Okay, I wrote it down this time. My word for the Pelicans: forgettable.
Forgettable. Okay.
Sometimes I forget that they're there. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, props to them. They have a solid record. They're 21-15 right now. But if you were to tell me, like if I didn't see the standings and you're like, oh, yeah, I can't believe the Pelicans are in 11th place right now, I would have believed you. I would have believed you. And then if you
told
me,
I'm telling you, once Zion and Ingram figure it out together,
no, but on the flip side, if you were to tell me, like, oh, yeah, they're fourth in the West right now, I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. Like, wow, I never would have guessed. So, like, to me, yeah. Like, I just, you know, maybe small market team. I don't know. They've been kind of, yeah, I don't know. Number six, Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh, I'm going to reuse a word that we already used, sneaky.
Okay.
They could be a sneaky contender. Just given how Luka's playing. I mean, he's playing out of his mind right now. I think they're better built than last year. Adding in Grant Williams, the rise of Derek Lively the second, you know, Derek Jones Jr. being a good role player for them as well. Like, I think they can actually, you know, play with the big kids, essentially. I think they can do it.
My word for them is dark horse.
Mm-hmm.
I can see them making a deep run into the playoffs as currently constructed. You know, I'm not so sure about the coaching, but offensively with Luka and Kyrie and a lot of their young pieces, you got solid role players. I can see them being a dark horse. Number five, Sacramento Kings.
I will use a phrase again. Don't care. I mean, that sounds really harsh. That sounds very harsh. Like, don't care. But, like, I mean, they had their Light the Beam thing last year. They were very popular to everybody. But I think this year they're just, I guess, one of those teams. You know, that's just in the middle. It's a very indifferent amount of them. They are, to an extent, kind of small. So maybe a team with size might give them issues in the playoffs. So, yeah, they're a good team. But I just don't really care that much about them, personally.
My word for them is actually a question. It's really
okay.
Really? Okay. You made a point that's my main point, is their size. I think they're a little bit undersized. Yeah. I think they got Kevin Herter's kind of regressed a little bit there. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's got to come out of that. And a little bit forgettable as well. Like,
yeah,
I kind of forget that Harrison Barnes is still there. Like, yeah, like same thing with, yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, really? I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
Los Angeles Clippers at number four.
My word is golly. That's my word right there. I mean, like, who would have thought about this? I mean, maybe I was too quick to, you know, make conclusions, but when James Harden made the team and went to the team, I was like, that won't work. No way that will. And then 16 games later, they're 14 out of the last 16 games won. Like, that's that's insane. The two they lost were without Kawhi. So, I mean, we're going to talk scary teams. They're a scary team because now they're coming into form. I mean, we do it every year, though. We say the Clippers are on, you know, Clippers are going to do it. This is their year. And then every year they just disappoint us. But you got James Harden, and it's a big three, big four with Russ on the bench. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, right now it's golly. Maybe soon it'll be like sorry. Who knows? You know, I don't know. But right now it's golly.
Mine is another question, but with a different tone. Mine is really, really
okay.
I wasn't a believer when the trade happened. I'm still not a believer. I think they're on a nice little run here, but I think come playoff time, again, how healthy is Paul George going to be? Is it going to be playoff P? How healthy is Kawhi going to be? What's going to happen with James Harden? We know his track record in the playoffs.
Right. Right.
So it could be, you know, it could go from really to really very quickly. Number three, the Denver Nuggets.
I will say this word because it associates with the main word. I will say horses. Horses. I mean, I was going to say also like champions because, you know, they are the champions and, you know, we should expect them to be in a deep playoff run, you know, this season. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what more can you say about Jokic at this point? Like, he just continues to amaze us, continues to put up bonker numbers. He's the best player in the world right now, you know, arguably. They're champions.
My word is playful. I think they're just kind of playing with their food when it comes to these teams that they're facing. You know, like,
true.
I feel like Jokic, he hit that half court game winner. Like, it was just, he just chucked it up, man. Whatever.
Well, that kind of validates his shots against us in the playoffs last year. You remember those shots against Lakers?
The step backs, like you know,
one legged, one arm AD who's like fully contesting.
Yeah, like, not even a rainbow. It was like a double rainbow. Like
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, that shot was like, oh, okay, he can make those. All right, we're fine.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
And like people are like, I've never seen him express so much emotion after, you know, winning a game. Right. And then my first thought was like, I think he just wanted to go home. Like he was happy he got to go home that they didn't have to play an extra quarter. Yeah, I get to watch horses. Our friend AJ sent me a Instagram reel of Nikola Jokic warming up pregame. Have you ever seen this?
Yeah. He was just like dilly-dallying on the court, just doing whatever like nonsense.
I told AJ, I'm like, oh, that's how I look during games. but yeah, playful is my word. Number two, OKC.
Rise. They are on the rise. I think they're going to be a serious out in the playoffs this year. I mean, we thought, you know, this could be like a fairy tale run, but I think they're serious. I think they're going to go for it this year. And I'm very excited to see where it lands.
My word for them is studs.
Mm.
These guys are studs, man. Like they're well coached. They've bought in to who they are, what they're capable of. They're gritty. You know, we always talk about Heat culture. They definitely got some type of Oklahoma City culture there right now. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it is.
It's fun to watch. Yeah.
I like Shea's it. Insane. Shea's insane. We got to say it. He's dominating.
He's entertainment. Pure entertainment.
Yep.
Chet Holmgren, pure Heat culture guy. I love it. Had to throw that in there. Number one, before we wrap up, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Minus two words, like one thought. Viable threat. I'll say it. They're a viable threat. I thought that was going to be also a fairy tale run, that this wasn't going to last. But I think with their current roster set up, with, you know, Anthony Edwards being elite right now, Kat and Gobert making it work together now, like now they're working together in harmony. We have McDaniels, Alexander Walker, Kyle Anderson being good defenders for them around Anthony Edwards. Like it's just all working together. Like all the pieces are kind of coming together and making it work. And now they're viable. They're going to be a tough out as well in the playoffs.
Originally, I was going to say unleashed, but I think they're in a continuous process of unleashing. I think they're only going to get better the more that they play, the more that they experience adversity as a team.
Yeah.
This team really scares me. Obviously, with Anthony Edwards at the helm as the leader of the team, like the clear-cut leader, which is something this team needed for the longest time. And I'm just glad that, you know, the potential son of Michael Jordan, potential brother, half-brother of Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, you know, they're...
Family ties.
Yeah.
Family ties. You know,
goat tings, you know, like...
Yeah.
those are my words for those respective teams. I thought that was a fun exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it again in like April. We'll see what those words are again. Yeah.
What I would like to do for next week, you know, stay tuned for next week. We'll kind of do something similar, but with players, not just teams, but actual individual players. I think that would be a really fun exercise to do. Before we go, who's winning tonight? Clippers, Lakers?
Lakers by 40. Honestly,
That's a hot take.
I think tonight is a statement game. I think tonight they go, you know what? Nah, let's prove everybody wrong. We're going to win this game. We're going to make sure that we're, you know, on the right track starting today.
That's a spicy take right there, man. That's super spicy. I don't know how I feel about
serious,
that.
I'm serious,
though. I'm serious. Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to laugh.
Nah, don't worry. You'll laugh tomorrow when you see the score. You're like, oh, Nat was right.
Okay.
You'll have to watch.
Let's see. Yeah. So, let's find out. Before we go, How's your fantasy teams doing?
Oh man, I mean, I'm only in one league currently. I'm in second place. I might lose that 2 seed after tonight's results. I'm currently down 3-6 in our categories league. I actually like my team a lot. I have a good balance of guards and forwards. Like I've got Trae Young, Van Vliet, Anthony Simons, and then my forwards are Booker, Jalen Johnson from the Hawks, really good player so far. Fons and Porzingis. So I have a good mixture of, you know, different categories. I have good scorers, good passers, good rebounders, good blocks, you know. So yeah, I am pretty confident going into this year with my team. How about you?
So in our league, it's just I started off hot. I was first place at one point, or second place. Like I was up there, and yeah, then it was just like a tailspin. But I'm just devastated by injuries. Evan Mobley, Joel Chris Embiid Paul now
is out for 6 weeks.
Chris Paul. So I dropped Chris Paul. Now I have Aaron Gordon out. I have, you know, all these different players out, and it sucks,
dude. I mean, we can both discuss some trades. You know, let me know. Let me know what you need help with. I got you.
Who do you have? Who you got?
Look at my team. You know. Let's discuss off record. You know, offline. You know, let's.
Okay.
Let's talk. You know.
Yeah, we'll talk. never mind. I don't want anyone on your team.
Your loss.
Your loss. All right, Matt. All right, Nat. Let's do this again next week.
Yes, sir.